God's grace and peace to you on this Ash Wednesday Eve. Tattoos have become more accepted in the church than they once were. Their rejection, based on Levitical laws, were for a purpose and governed ancient Israel's religious and worship life. Christians today are free from those ceremonial laws, as Paul says in Colossians, "These are but a shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ." However, most pastors would advise anyone thinking on getting a tattoo to consider it very carefully. What you decide to put on your skin is there pretty much forever. Tattoo parlors need a sign over their entrance that announces, "Think before you ink." Or maybe they could place a recording in the background that says, "Do you really want to carry your girlfriend's name on your shoulder for the rest of your life?" Well, today, tattoo removal has become a really big business. More and more tattoo-bearing people experience what is called tattoo regret syndrome. According to a 2018 Harris Poll survey, the number of Americans with tattoos and those considering tattoo removal is on the rise. And it's not cheap. To remove a single tattoo can take up to 12 sessions, spaced out over the course of up to 2 years. And each treatment can cost between $100 and $400. But consider this. If our regrets in life showed up as tattoos, how marked up would you be? What pictures would you see in the mirror? The face of someone that you might have hurt? The amount of money that you may have wasted? All the couldas, the wouldas, and the shouldas that you may have spoken? I could have been a better dad. I should have paid closer attention. I would have been a better student if only I, and you can fill in the blank. If we dug around in the basement of our life, what would we find? Wasted years, obsessive greed, destructive diversions, anger, arrogance, selfishness, maybe even a few racial slurs. What can we do with all of these unwanted marks of ours? Well, we could be defensive. When we're defensive, we don't admit anything. We tell no one. We keep that skeleton safely locked up in our closet. We seek innocence, not forgiveness. When we're defensive, we reduce life to one goal: hide that secret. Cover it up. We don't address it. We don't admit it. And whatever we do, never, ever confess it. When we see these tattoos of regret, another option might be to be defeated. When we're defeated, we feel as if we don't make mistakes. We are the mistake. We didn't mess up. We are the mess up. We beat ourselves up repeatedly with the shame and the blame. We take the role of judge, jury, and prosecuting attorney. The verdict? Guilty. Forever. Defensive people hide the marks. Defeated people revisit the marks over and over and over again. But is there a better way? You bet there is. We can be delivered from all of our ugly marks. As we begin Lent this Ash Wednesday, we also begin a Lenten sermon series called Witnesses to Christ. And the first person who helps us follow Christ to the cross in John's Gospel is John, Well, John the Baptist. And what does John the Baptist say when we're defensive about sin or defeated by sin? He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And when it comes to all of our ugly marks of sin, we can be delivered. Behold. Behold literally means to see. The verb can be translated look, gaze, stare, take note. Behold means here is the whole point of what I'm saying. John the Baptist says it again in verse 36. Behold. In both of these verses, John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." This isn't just some ordinary lamb. This is the Passover Lamb of God. John uses the word Passover 11 times in his gospel. 11 times. The entire gospel is structured to help us behold, see, gaze, take note of Christ, the Passover Lamb of God. In Exodus 12:5, it says the Passover Lamb is a male lamb, perfect, spotless, without defect. In verse 7, it says the Israelites were to place the Passover lamb's blood on the sides and on the top of their door frames. The blood would set the Israelites free, free from making bricks, free from the whips of the slave drivers, and free from the Pharaoh's countless bag of tricks. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Takes away. The verb takes away is in the present tense. Meaning what? Meaning that Christ still takes away. He takes away today. He takes away tomorrow. He takes away next week. He's still taking away. And what does he take away? He takes away the sin of the world. And that includes our sin, our ugly sin, our shameful sin, our haunting sin, our every single sin. He takes it all away. Christ not only takes away our sin, but our guilt, that sin done by us. Christ also takes away our shame, that sin done to us. Guilt is what we feel when we've done wrong. Shame is what we feel when somebody's done wrong to us. And we all know what public shame feels like. We may have been branded by divorce, or maybe marked by a handicap, or we may be even saddled by alcoholic parents, or crushed because one of our kids got arrested. Or maybe we feel stigmatized because we've lost our job or lost a spouse or lost our house or lost our life saving. And now everyone knows about it. But then there's that private shame. We've probably all felt that too. Maybe you've been pushed to the edge by an abusive spouse or molested by somebody that you trusted or seduced by a sneaky superior or teased without mercy by some other kids, or, well, you know your story. But no one else knows. But you do. We know. And that's enough to bury us in shame. And we put our hands over our ears or splash water on our face, or we go for a long drive, but nothing helps. Nothing takes away our shame. Nothing takes away our guilt. Sin has marked us, and that's that. That's the end of the story. Well, actually, no, it's not. We don't have to drink our sin away. We don't have to work our sin away. We don't have to explain our sin away, eat our sin away, cry our sin away, or bury our sin away. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes this way the sin of the world. This may be hard for you to believe, but most of us have carried our ugly marks so long that we can't even imagine life without it. Maybe we can't imagine it, but God can. God does. God does more than just imagine it. He sent John the Baptist, who says, "Behold, look, see, gaze. Here's the whole point of what I'm saying. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The Passover Lamb of God does it all for the whole world. The Passover Lamb of God does it for you. And so we say this prayer. Jesus, please just take it all away. Tell Jesus what you did. Just tell Jesus what you said, what you saw, what you took, how you feel. Tell Jesus what you thought. Pray this prayer as often as you need. One time, two times, 10 times a day. Hold nothing back. No guilt is too ancient or too recent. No shame is too evil, too big, too small, too insignificant. No marks are so malicious that they can't be completely moved. Just pray, Jesus, take it all away. And we may be tempted to say, Jesus, take it all away. I am such a loser. That doesn't work. For one thing, you're not a loser. We are God's baptized children, and He loves us. For another, marks are only removed when they're exposed to God's grace. What do you need grace for? For being a bad person? No. That's too general. For losing your patience at a meeting and calling some guy, some coworker, a creep? Yeah, that's what you need to confess. Confession isn't punishment for sin. Confession names sin so that it can be exposed to God's amazing grace and erased. But you need to be firm in your prayers. Satan traffics in guilt and shame. He won't give up without a fight. Say to Satan, I left my sin with the Passover Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's time for a clean start, a fresh slate, a new beginning. That's what Lent is all about. We don't need to be defensive or defeated. Today, we can be delivered. And we do so by looking at God's marks. Yeah, God has marks on His hands. Behold, behold, look, see, gaze, stare. Here's the whole point of what we're saying. From Isaiah chapter 49, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Jesus has your name written right where He can see it. Your name is on His blood-stained hands. Yeah, Jesus loves you that much. If you ever wondered how God reacts when guilt and shame have you cornered and are ready to swallow you whole, if you ever wondered how God feels when you're lost, abandoned, and hopeless, if you ever wondered what God would do if He ever found out about all those things you did, then frame these words and hang them on your wall. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Trust these words. Believe these words. Stand below these words and trust Jesus to take them all away. Jesus took the nails on the cross. On the God-forsaken cross, Jesus took the nails. And in taking these nails, Jesus takes away all our sin and our shame. He hung there for us. Jesus still says, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. And in the end, these are the only marks that matter. And these marks on Christ's hands will never be erased. They are there for eternity. Amen.